Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world.
Well, there's another question we're going to be asking tonight. And looking over the congregation, I'm wondering how many of you have thought about your particular investment strategy. Maybe some of the older folk, but I wonder how many of the younger folk. Well, do turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to learn from Jesus, who probably is the greatest economist. I think that's what I would call him in this particular passage, financial advisor. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. So do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So just so far, let's bow together in a word of prayer. Lord, we do come again this evening, and wonderful to sing these songs, Lord, of aspiration, of anticipation. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. But we know that there is a journey, there is a road that we need to walk, a road of faith and trust in you. And so as we come again this evening to that which you have revealed to us, may we receive it with open hearts, with open hands, and Lord, may it translate into our everyday living, we pray. And asking again that, Lord, always in need of the work of your Holy Spirit among us, and Lord, in us and even through us, in Jesus' name, amen. When I was a young guy, it's a long time ago, I was trying to do the sums, but let's say 50 years ago. Do you still get Chappies bubblegum? So we used to get 2 chappies for a cent. Do you know that? You remember that, Monica? Huh? 2 chappies for a cent. Eugene will remember probably even cheaper because he's even older. Okay. So I remembered at high school, if I had 15 cents to spend, I could buy myself a packet of crisps and a Coke. 15 cents. That's a long time ago. I understand if you can get chappies today, you probably will get maybe 2 for a rand. Not quite sure, but I think they're quite expensive these days. So what I'm trying to say in this introduction, it seems to me by stashing your money in a safe place, and particularly if you're hiding it in a mattress, you're probably wasting it. All right, it's not going to grow. And a wise approach to investments surely should bring about a great return. And so the question I'm asking tonight is, what is your investment strategy? So my dad, did some funny things. And one of the things he did was he collected half-cent coins. Some of you probably never even seen a half-a-cent coin. So when my dad died, I went and packed up his things, and one of the things I found was a bank bag. Now, I don't know if you remember the bank bags, almost like a flour bag, and I still have the bag. It's full of half-cent pieces, and I'm not rich. All right, those half-cent pieces have done nothing for me, although I must be honest, we have used them. My late wife and I used them for children's parties, and we attached them to a band or something, and we awarded medals to my son's friends when they won competitions at their birthday parties. Now, I'm sure that many of you are aware, and particularly with your parents, because most of you are young yet tonight, have done a better job than my dad did with his half-cent pieces in investing savings. And they've bought cars, and I would imagine they bought houses, and they have retirement annuities, and they've probably bought books and things. And so, yes, we could say, and we do need to say tonight, that a good investment strategy makes good sense. We could say this, that we ought to be applying this kind of thing and teaching each other regarding the way that we use money and we see money. But then we turn to this particular passage where Jesus is teaching, and he's got something more to say about investment strategies. And he, in fact, challenges our human logic, our shrewd human logic, by directing us to an infinitely better, an infinitely wise investment. And so he says, do not store for yourselves treasures on earth. So I'm going to try and grapple with that with you here tonight. Why not stash things away here on earth? Why does Jesus say that? Why is he discouraging the fanatical stashing? And my words are important here. The fanatical, obsessive stashing of cash and the relentless accumulating of assets here in the world. Why is he discouraging that? Is it because these treasures are bad? No, not at all. The point, rather, that we need to see is they don't last. They don't last. He goes on to say, on earth, where moth and rust destroys and where thieves break in and steal. Now, again, one of the things I enjoyed doing when I was younger, a young teenage boy, I loved to do a lot of camping and fishing. And I still have a tent, can you believe it, that I used as a teenager. It's a blue tent. It's stashed up in my garage roof. I still have my fishing rods and my reels, but they're not in great condition. The tent is perished. It really is worn out. It's not much good anymore. I don't know why I keep it, maybe just sentimental value. I had a look at the fishing rods the other day because my daughter said to me she wants to go and try and do some fishing. Well, the reality is the eyelets, do you know what that is on a fishing rod? They've fallen off. The cotton that keeps the eyelet on has simply perished. The eyelets have fallen off. The reels have become rusty and no longer really useful. And I think the reality is all of our earthly treasures, all of our earthly treasures, nothing really lasts. Now, looking across the audience here tonight, I'm not so sure there's too many people who own tents and fishing rods. I'm thinking more computer games. Am I right? Xbox. I've never owned an Xbox in my life. Isaac, do you? Do you own an Xbox? But which one have you got? 360. Is that a good one? Is that the latest one?
No.
So Chen probably has the latest one, I would imagine. Am I right? No. But I think there was an Xbox One, and there was an Xbox now 360, and the Xbox whatever. The point is, even technology keeps changing, and the smart gaming computer, or think of cell phones, Nokia. I had a Nokia back in the day. I don't even think Nokia phones would even work today. They become obsolete, they become useless, and they simply don't last. God says in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 5, when your eyes light on it, that is riches, it's gone. For suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle toward heaven. And you will discover, if you're a student and you start earning your first salary and you see that amount in your bank account and you click and you click and you click and you click and it's gone. You look at it and it's gone. That is just the reality. And the message that Jesus is conveying to us, sooner or later, your earthly treasure, whatever it is, it can be cash, it can be gadgets, it can be property, it can be cars, it will disappear. Do not store for yourselves treasures on earth. Now listen to these next two sentences because they're very important. Not just that wealth might be lost, It is because wealth will always be lost. Now, some of you may disagree. What do I mean? You see, wealth either leaves you when you're alive. I've come across people, even in our congregation, who retire with a huge nest egg, and somebody talks them into some kind of elaborate, lucrative investment, and they believe the person, they put their nest egg into that. The next thing they discover, it was a Ponzi scheme or some kind of ripoff, and they lose their money. They apply for a SOS pension. Or you leave it when you die. Nobody takes anything with you. I think I've said this many times in this congregation. I have been disturbed every time I am with a family that loses a loved one in hospital, and after the passing of that loved one, we walk away. And what do we walk away with? A little bag with even the toothbrush in. You take nothing with you. Absolutely nothing. Now, it does beg the question, does this mean that Christians should not provide for the future? Not at all. Not at all. Godly wisdom dictates hard work, taking care of the rainy day, being a good steward. And again, we learn from the book of Proverbs, go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. So we ought to be responsible. We ought to plan. We ought to be good stewards. And so the emphasis of Jesus here is showing that there's a much bigger picture. There's a picture of more lasting things that we need to consider. The investment strategy that Jesus recommends goes beyond equities and bonds and property and cash. It's critical investment advice. Matthew chapter 6, verse 20, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, I don't know how much you know about it. I have a little bit of interest in these kind of things. This is the best insider training tip that you will ever hear. It's the best tip you will ever hear. Earth's currency will become worthless. That's a fact. Either in economic collapse, or when Christ returns, or when you die, whichever comes first. And so what Jesus is showing us over here, that there needs to be a switch in terms of what is your primary investment vehicle. You need to take care of things on earth, because there's a road to travel, there are years to live, and there'll come a day when you can't work, and yes, all those things need to be taken care of. Don't put all your eggs in that basket. Transfer the emphasis of your investment treasure from the earth, where things are volatile, unpredictable, to heaven, totally dependent, insured by God Himself, and soon to forever replace earth's economy. Leads me to a second question, is how do you store up treasures in heaven? Now, it's not difficult to identify the things that we gather down here and on earth. It's not just the accumulation of money, but it includes really anything that you put together in terms of any kind of asset, property, retirement annuity, equity, bond, anything at all. But put all of those together in a category, and I'm going to try and put them into categories. What does it include? It also includes ambition. It includes interests that you have in certain things, relationships, hopes, all the things that you buy, electronics, cars, houses, holidays, anything you hold out as irresistible. I must get that thing. I must accumulate those belongings. But there are two components to those categories. The first is focus on earth, what have I called it? Earthbound absorption. And I want to urge, and I've chosen this message very, very importantly tonight. Let me tell you something about Sunday evening giving. Liz will tell you that when we pass the bag around from week to week, or even now more recently, we've had the bag at the back. Sometimes the bag has one coin in it or one note in it, maybe sometimes two or three, but most of us just don't give. Now, it may be that there's EFT giving. I think there is EFT giving. But I do think as young people, and I've heard missionaries say this, we need to pray that God would raise up another generation that would also be faithful stewards in investing in God's kingdom. Because the old people who have been faithful are dying. And so what will you do? My challenge to you tonight is, what are you doing? What will you do? How will you plan your life in terms of investing in heaven? Earthbound absorption. It feeds what is important to me now. What is it that I want? What is it that I think I need? What is it that I can get? And how soon can I get it? That's the world's model of materialism. Well, you can do that. And later on, I'm going to give some consequence to that, but you certainly can do that. You can be involved just in earthly investments. You can be self-absorbed. But it's not what God would counsel us to do. And so thank God for many among us, and I want to say that in Pretoria at the Central Baptist Church, men and women, some young people, maybe we don't know, I don't know what you do, some young people perhaps who have moved on to the kind of investment strategy that Jesus is speaking about, that Paul also elaborates on. Let me read the verse, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. As for the rich in this present age. In other words, people who've managed to accumulate things on earth. Charge them not to be haughty. Okay, don't be proud about the fact that maybe you've got a big bank balance. Nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches. You may lose it, or it may lose you. But set your hope on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. Listen to verse 19. Thus, storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future. In other words, treasures in heaven, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. Now, there's a whole bunch of things, and I'm going to mention them again. But before I get to that, I want to ask the question, which goes on, then we'll go back to this passage in Timothy. How do you store treasures in heaven? Well, again, there's two components. One being, do you set your hope on God? You ought to set your hope on God. And the other is, do you have a heart for others? So it's not just about self-absorption and the accumulation of stuff. So a heaven-bound investment strategy is clear. It's about a God-centeredness that touches every area of life, feeding attitudes of godly generosity to others. So what do you do? I'm challenging you to maybe change the way you allocate the monies that you get. Are you setting your hopes on God? And don't forget, God is the giver of every good gift. Everything we have, anybody has, is a gift from God. And I want to add here tonight, enjoy the good gifts from God's hand. He's not calling us to a lifestyle of poverty, living in the desert like a monk. It's okay to play paddle players. Yeah, it's okay to go and have a meal. It's okay to enjoy some of the good gifts that God gives to you. But the second component, as we focus on God, as we look to God to set our hopes on Him, to be rich in good works toward others. Matthew 19, verse 21, if you would, remember to the rich man, if you would be perfect, go sell what you possess, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. Generosity towards others, generous and ready to share when lost. Did you look around you? And just be aware that perhaps this person is in greater need than you. There's always going to be somebody richer than you, and there's always going to be somebody poorer than you. That's a fact. It's like running. Always somebody in front of you, always somebody behind you. When last did you think to share with somebody else? Not necessarily somebody who can return the favor, but to give to somebody who simply won't be able to do that. The generosity and the readiness to share must certainly take place in the context of the local church. And of course also in the broader church, but I am focusing tonight on the local church. Let us not forget that the church is not man's idea. The church is God's idea. The church is God's creation. Jesus himself is building the church. So this church, this body, this group here tonight, part of the church at Central, each member serving one another. It's part of the ministry, to love one another, to serve one another, to show generosity to one another. But the church also is an organization, in some senses of the word. They're buildings. These buildings have to be cared for. This body requires ministry. Just today we met as a group of people who are going to go and visit AJ and Avon missionaries in Japan. They've been sent out to Japan. They don't earn a salary in Japan. So there are people at Central Baptist churches and other churches who are investing in them being there, laying up treasures in heaven for the sake of gospel ministry. But there are people who are employed here. We have interns, we have staff, we have pastors, we have office secretary, we have cleaners, we have maintenance that needs to be done. And so this church and its members ought to work together in the way that we support it, in the way that we partner together. Work needs to be done, and of course, bills need to be paid. And so I am urging you tonight that we change the pattern. That we young people, well, a few older people here too, but as an evening congregation, that we too get serious about investing not just in McDonald's after the service. No, it's okay if you want to eat that kind of stuff. Okay, I do too sometimes. All right, it's okay. But let's have a mindset coming to church. When you pay your bills, if you do an EFT thing, considering how is it that I can invest in the kingdom of God? How is it that I can invest in gospel ministry? How is it that I can support another person, that I can help another person? You and I invest wisely by using our hands, giving ourselves, and sharing what we've got. Which leads me to a third question. Why should you store up treasures in heaven? Why should that be an issue for you? Verse 21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, one could interpret that passage in two ways. You could see it as a ladder, or you can see it as a mirror. If you see it as a ladder, you're wrong. Because it's inconsistent with the gospel. Because no one can earn salvation. So some people may think, well, if I'm giving money, if I'm helping others with my hands, if I'm doing things, I'm somehow going to earn credit and merit with God and earn my way into heaven. So I'm climbing this ladder and I'm earning points. I'm scoring all my way into heaven. I'm being generous, I'm doing good works, and that will make me acceptable to God. No. That's not what this passage is teaching. Rather, what Jesus is saying is that believers, those who have been saved by grace, are positively rewarded in eternity. There is going to be some sort of reward in heaven according to the way that we use our lives here on earth as a result of our conversion. And so the phrase, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also," is a mirror. You need to look into that mirror. Where is your heart? And what does it do? It reflects the allegiance of your heart. Is your allegiance to this world and the here and now? Or is your allegiance to the bigger picture, the bigger scope of things, the unfolding of redemption and an eternity in heaven where we will worship God forever and ever? Allegiance is either to the world and self or to God and His kingdom. When you discover this ultimate treasure of Christ, and that ought to be seen, you ought to see that as a treasure. Other things ought to fade into the background in favor of that which pleases Him. Even the Apostle Paul, who accumulated all sorts of things in reputation and religious legacy, he said, whatever gain I had, I counted loss for the sake of Christ. And so Jesus is the treasure, the first treasure. And so your particular investment strategy exposes your heart for God. Even James, in his argument about faith and works, you have faith and I have works, someone will say. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You say you're a believer. You say you have faith. Are you demonstrating that in terms of your allegiance to the kingdom? So why do we store up treasure in heaven? Not because we're going to tip the scales in favor of God's in God's showing us any kind of merit. Rather, like those men and women of faith, quoting Hebrews 11 verse 10, looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Dear friend, the true believer sees himself or herself as stewards in this world, in this life, with that which God has entrusted to us to use. What are those things that He's entrusted? Well, money, yes. Brains, your brains. Our hands and feet, our education, our homes, our children, our personalities. These are from God and for God, for the glory of God and His purposes. That's the true believer. The man of the world holds on to what he can now very tightly. The Christian says, I'm not an owner of these things. I have them on trust. I'm a custodian. I cannot take them with me. I can only use them in ways that honor God. I want to quote Martin Lloyd-Jones, and then I'm going to have a conclusion. Lloyd-Jones says, I do not cling to these things. They do not become the center of my life and existence. I do not live for them or dwell upon them constantly in my mind. They do not absorb my life. Talking about earthly stuff. On the contrary, I hold them loosely. I'm not governed by them. Rather do I govern them. And as I do this, I'm steadily securing and safely laying up for myself treasures in heaven. Well, two comments in conclusion, two implications. You got an investment strategy? Your strategy has one of two outcomes. One or two outcomes. Number one, the first possibility, the risk of wasting your life. Have you thought of that? One life to live, the thought of wasting your life. If you think that it's just about accumulating house and home and assets and stuff on earth, and there's no thought about the gospel and the kingdom and heaven and investing in that enterprise, you're wasting your life. You'll be busy with all sorts of passions and projects and achievements. It'll come to nothing. You know, one of the sad things I've discovered, I'm involved, quite a bit involved with the retirement center ministry. I've observed, sadly, there's some men and women who 10 and 15 years after retirement are living in the past. They have nothing more to look forward to. And they can only talk about the day when they were an accountant, or they were an engineer, or they did do this and they did do that. But it's gone. It's gone. It doesn't count anymore. They're actually just waiting to die. Isn't that sad? You can be so busy with all sorts of things, your life will amount to nothing. I don't know if you've ever seen a dog chasing its own tail. Don't do that. You would be like the man who spent all his wealth on himself. He planned to tear down his barns and build larger ones, storing up for himself so he could retire and take life easy. Luke chapter 12, verse 20, God said to him, "You fool, you fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" Wasted life. Obsessed with earthly treasures. He wasted his life. But there's another option. The return of a great reward. We have a couple of missionaries here. I didn't even acknowledge you guys earlier on. Nice to have you with us, Lauren, Dorette. And why am I saying this? Is as I think looking at you among us here tonight, having left your career, pharmacist, therapist in children and handicapped, and gone off to serve another nation for the sake of the gospel, not earning great salaries, having to get other people to support them, they are laying up treasures in heaven. Aren't they? What a challenge. What an encouragement. What an encouragement. The return of a great reward is the second option. Everyone who has left houses and brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive a hundredfold and will inherit eternal life. Well, so what, this message tonight? Your investment at Central and elsewhere in God's kingdom, and for His glory it must be, is part of your treasure in heaven. Let's change things. Let's not have those bags empty and Les every week taking empty bags and putting them in the safe. Let's start as young people. And I may be making an assumption, I don't know. But I'm urging as young people, will you consider to sacrificially and generously and proportionately give and invest, laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Just from what God has given you, regularly doing so as unto the Lord to the glory of His name. And so, Lord, I pray that you would teach us to do things your way, that we would learn from your wisdom and your grace, enabling us, Lord, to trust you, even in that which you give us, and even as we share that with others, to continue to trust you and knowing that you will provide our every need. And so, Lord, as we come to the end, as we worship at this service tonight, may our hearts, Lord, be challenged. May we adjust our behavior accordingly. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.